We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is the Rusk Report, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Brian Rusk.
Welcome to the Rusk Report on ESPN AM 1520. I have a beautiful view where we are taping remotely for ESPN Radio, and I'm with a very famous man, Eric Reicher. We did a program on his book a year ago, and the book is Sail the World, Everything You Need to Know to Circumnavigate the Globe. And he and his wife are active with a circumnavigators group in Palm Beach, Florida. To tell you a little bit about Eric Reichert, his background includes a degree in engineering from Northwestern University and a MBA from Harvard Business School with high distinction. He spent 30 years in the automotive industry as a product planner and then vice president of export operations at Ford in England. He convinced Henry Ford II that his concept, the Fiesta, had a major market potential in the United Kingdom and then implemented the Fiesta in Europe, where it still holds a major market share. I think that was a billion-dollar success story, wasn't it?
Yes.
Wonderful. I'm still trying to follow in your footsteps.
That was $1 billion in 1977.
Well, then today it would probably be $5 billion, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
45 years later?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, you're the billion-dollar man. Eric Reichert, our guest today on the Rusk Report on ESPN AM 1520. He's a man who really accomplished himself in business. He's active with philanthropy with his lovely wife, Lady Susan, who's active with wonderful causes such as Project Hope and many arts causes. So let's talk a little bit now. We have into the new year, as of the taping date, we have a new president of the United States, where Donald Trump lowered taxes, and Donald Trump only lives about 3 miles north of where we're taping. In Palm Beach, Florida, he lowered taxes. Biden going to raise taxes. He says that he's going to raise taxes on people who only make more than $400,000 a year, but I understand he's throwing away the Trump tax cuts, so the little guy, I think, is going to be hit with much higher taxes too. So how are we in America, you're a success story with your wife, how are we going to handle higher taxes in 2021? Eric Reicher.
Well, of course, we still don't know yet precisely what taxes there Biden is actually talking about, because he still has to work through his party split on issues. Historically, Democratic tax policies have always resulted in slower growth and potential job losses. So how will we handle them? I think that the consequence of the Democratic tax policies are really well established. I actually would prefer that every politician have to take a course in economics, but even independent think tanks like the Hoover Institute at Stanford have documented how devastating many of the tax increases and you know, are to the economy. And when you hurt the economy, you hurt, you create job losses, which hurts everybody, and that and reduces the overall income for the government, which then is in a sort of a death spiral, because then you want to raise taxes to cover the taxes you've lost because you lost business. It's a terrible situation, and I certainly hope that good knowledge will prevail.
Oh, I hope so too. I'm very scared because I've said to a lot of people, many people liked Donald Trump's policies, but they didn't like his personality. It's a sad situation because I think he will go down in history as a great president, a disruptor. He really dug away at the swamp in Washington. And I think often the inaccuracy of the media. I'm a very conservative talk show host, but I'm a rare. It might be 1%. Most are extremely left-wing, liberal, and biased in America. Now, let's talk about electric cars. I, before the taping, was referring to Eric Reichert as sort of a predecessor of Tesla. He was a man with vision with the Ford Fiesta, and now we understand earlier in the show that we're talking really about a $5 billion success story, quite different from the Edsel, which you often talk about, which was probably a $100 million disaster. But you marketed basically an attractive small car in a time when energy was expensive, right after the energy crisis in the 70s, and you made a great success story worldwide. Our guest, Eric Reichert. Now, it seems that people are enamored with electric cars. I'm sort of old-fashioned. I like the hum of an engine. So I've been in Teslas. I mean, they're so fast that you get whiplash. And I guess they're sort of the price of a expensive Mercedes, a Tesla. But I'm sort of old-fashioned. But now we have electric cars, and it seems that there's a drive by a lot of these energy folks to have all cars electric. And I saw in the newspaper before this taping that there was a police car in one of the major cities that was all electric. So where do you see the all electric cars? Are we going to see more and more of this? Are we going to see them take over the automotive industry? How do you see it, Eric Reichert?
Well, in Europe, the Europeans have really set the pace, because they've declared for legal purposes that all cars should be electric by 2030, which is only 10 years away, and in the scope of things, that's a very, very short time for changing infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
In the United States, electric cars today are generally under 2% of the new market, which is not very impressive, but I believe that electric cars will definitely be increasing at a rapid rate in the next 5 to 10 years. But by the way, I don't call electric cars are sometimes called zero emission or no emission. I prefer to call them remote emission, because you have to generate the electricity to charge the vehicles somewhere. And by the way, in all of these discussions of people with zeal for electric cars, don't mention the need to increase the power generation capability, the transmission lines, the local distribution network of electricity, the need to, you know, have power delivered to practically every parking space, and this will dramatically change a lot of our infrastructure. However, you know, many of the cars coming out recently have ranges of 300 to 400 miles, which means that if you're driving around town, There's no worry about, you know, lack of charge. Most people don't drive more than 300 or 400 miles a day around a city. So it's only an issue if you're going to travel cross country. So yeah, I think electric cars will increase. You know, issues like where do you find enough lithium for the batteries, etc., are still there. By the way, I drove an electric car at Ford in 1970.
And how was it? How far could you go with that?
Well, it was just a basically a current car modified with lead acid batteries. It had relatively short range. It was quite heavy, but it, you know, it was an electric car which we could drive around the town. You know, it was not suitable for commercial sale, and we never progressed it beyond the study. And the issue's been battery technology. So for 50 years, it's been battery technology, and it'll be another 50 years of battery technology, I predict.
Well, there was an interesting point you made of the pollution that is taking place in the processing of the electricity. How do you see it environmentally? Is there going to be more damage done with the production of the power than the saving of pollution from an electric car? Is it sort of an equal balance? Or do you think it really will end up with more pollution with the production of the power for the electricity?
Well, it all depends upon how you produce the power. Obviously, if you did this with coal power plants, I'd probably be as bad or worse, you know, than fuel-efficient internal combustion engine cars. If it's done with gas, natural gas, it is not quite as bad. We certainly can't generate as much electricity like some of the Greens would like, you know, by just wind or solar. And if you do that, you still need batteries, huge batteries, to you know, hold power overnight or when there's no wind. So it's a very sticky situation. I would say that you know, I would prefer actually uranium, you know, plants which don't pollute the air. I know there's issues with long-term effects of radiation, etc., but I think that can be managed.
Well, why don't we hear, this is the first time I've heard your idea of uranium-powered automobiles.
No, power plants.
Power plants. Well, even that, why haven't we heard this in the mainstream media of getting the power from uranium?
Well, because, you know, people, many people became very disenchanted with nuclear power plants as a result of both Chernobyl and the issue of the one in Japan, Israel, you know, that storm. However, you know, everything is an engineering, pro or con, and you improve over time. And I think, you know, France at one point was like 60 or 70% nuclear. So it can be done, it has been done, and it has been done safely.
I can see the fear. I went on a humanitarian mission to the Ukraine, and we did go to Chernobyl, and it was a devastating sight to see all these homes and playgrounds and toys just standing there when people were evacuated. So I can understand that. For those who just tuned in to the Rusk Report, we're honored to have back by popular demand Eric Reichert, who was a great pioneer in the automotive industry. We're taping this remotely in his lovely home in Palm Beach, Florida. And if you have any thoughts or comments, if you're listening in Montreal or South Buffalo, where Mr. Reichert's father was born, in Buffalo, New York, or down in Washington, drop us a note. Please write to Brian Rusk, ESPN Radio, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Buffalo, New York, 14226. And we have received letters as far away as Scandinavia and New Zealand, so we'd like to hear from you. A little plug here. Western New Yorkers love their traditions, and the Ampol Legal has been writing about Polish-American traditions and events for over 50 years. That's at the hometown of your father, Eric, the Ampol Legal. News and features from a Polish-American perspective can be found in this weekly newspaper, as well as recipes and a calendar of events. Don't miss out on the next cultural presentation or polka dance by reading the Ampol Legal. The Ampol Legal is available in many Tops and Wegmans stores. For home delivery, call 716-835-9454. That's 716-835-9454. You have the latest news from Poland and Polonia in your mailbox each week. A little bit more information about Eric Reichert. He convinced Henry Ford II that his concept, the Ford Fiesta, had a major market potential in the United Kingdom, and then implemented the Fiesta in Europe, where it still holds a major market share. Eric Reichert was president and CEO of several divisions and entities at Chrysler. Lee Iacocca took him with him from Ford to Chrysler, where Eric Reichert was president and CEO of EchoStar, the part supplier for Chrysler, and president and CEO of Chrysler Mexico. A very accomplished career. And he and his lovely wife, Susan, now do so much for philanthropy and the arts and culture in the United States. Now, let's get back to your sailing, and I'll give a plug to your book here. The book, if you want to get it, is available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, I believe. No, you can order it there, just Amazon. The book is Sail the World, Everything You Need to Know to Circumnavigate the Globe by Eric A. Reichert on Amazon. And let's talk about what was your highlight when you went around the globe. Most people like me, I have a little boat, a 17-foot boat, 16-foot, and I just go up and down the Erie Canal, you know, maybe half a mile once a week, but I don't go 20, 30,000 miles. So what was the highlight of sailing across the globe? Eric Reichert, again, author of Sail the World, Everything You Need to Know to Circumnavigate the Globe, available at Amazon. Eric Reichert.
Well, I think the biggest challenge and the biggest reward was crossing oceans, which is different than coastal sailing or sailing up the river. That's because it's you're out of sight of land for, well, it was 17 and a half days in the Atlantic, 18 and a half days in the Pacific for me. But you're out of reach by most normal rescue services. You are totally on your own, and you must be careful of handle all challenges, and you're responsible for not only for your own life but the life of the crew you have on board. So to do that, I did a risk analysis of every potential risk that might occur when you're this far away from assistance, and I made sure the boat was designed to handle various risks. It was equipped for it, and I was prepared for it. In other words, I had developed in my mind plans for how I would react to any given emergency, and as a result of that, we actually had relatively undramatic passages, and it was but you get into another world in the middle of the ocean, because there's no one around you, no airplanes, no other people, and you're the only ones around. And you get into a sort of a life cycle. The time is changing because you're moving across the globe. And it was such a delightful experience. I sometimes was actually disappointed that I reached the destination and had to join the normal world again.
Now, let's talk, you said it was quiet at times, let's talk about a little excitement that got you a little bit nervous, and your wife was even a little bit concerned talking about it yesterday, and that's, you had an encounter, you suspected these people to be pirates, I believe they were asking for water, but they had things covered up on their boat, and I believe you probably thought they were machine guns or arms of some type. So let's talk about that experience with Eric Reichert, going around the world. Again, the book is Sail the World, Everything You Need to Know to Circumnavigate the Globe by Eric A. Reichert. Let's talk about your experience where you were concerned that you had pirates to deal with right next to your sailboat.
Well, we of course, we went through the Gulf of Aden and then up the Red Sea. And in both areas, they were pirate areas. And I had actually plotted the pirate attacks in the previous 3 years, you know, where they occurred. And so we carefully avoided some of those areas, and we went through other areas very fast. But near the top end of the Red Sea, we pulled into a small little harbor and anchored. It was sort of like a sand dune surrounding us. We were protected from the waves, but not from the wind. But we were anchored, which meant we had no mobility. When we were approached by this small fishing boat with three men in it, and they were wearing balaclavas, you know, the knit coverings that cover your whole head and face, other than your eyes.
You thought they were, looked like bank robbers, their face covered.
Yes. Yeah. And they approached. So what I did was, I had six people in total on board at that point. So I had everyone come up, and we lined the rail, six abreast,
right,
all looking at them. At that point, they, when they approached, they said they needed water, which is sort of ludicrous, because what fisherman goes to sea wanting to fish and not having enough water? I think they had changed their mind on what they were going to do. But anyway, I filled a plastic bottle of water, and we didn't allow them near the boat so they could touch it. And I threw them the bottle of water, and they disappeared. But I think the show of force changed their mind on what they might wanted to do.
Well, it would be a scary situation to me. Let's get back to a topic about the automotive industry, but before we do, for those who have just tuned in, our guest is Eric A. Reichert. He's the author of Sail the World, Everything You Need to Know to Circumnavigate the Globe, and it's available at Amazon. And Lee Iacocca took Eric Reichert with him from Ford to Chrysler, where Eric Reichert was president and CEO of Accustar, the part supplier for Chrysler, and president and CEO of Chrysler Mexico. Our guest today, Eric Reichert. Let's talk a little bit more about cars, and if the gas prices go up, what cars do you think will be marketed? We've talked about electric, but are we going to see smaller cars, lighter cars? What is the future going to hold if gas prices right now in Palm Beach, Florida, and New York State, it's around $2.20 a gallon. Let's say it goes up to $3.20 a gallon. What type of cars do you think are going to be promoted?
Well, right now, you know, sport utility vehicles or crossover vehicles are the norm, and even Rolls-Royce and Bentley make them.
Right.
That clearly indicates that at the current level of gasoline, that people look to having large space and the flexibility of a sport utility. You know, historically, way back in the 60s and 70s, the space configuration of the vehicle was in station wagons. Then it was superseded by minivans.
Right.
And now the sport utilities are, I think that what that proves is that in America at least, people expect and like large volume vehicles. Now, if the gas prices go up, I don't know if $2 to $3 will have much impact, but if you went to $4 or so, yes, people. But the problem is that nearly all of the car manufacturers have retooled their production lines, and they could not react to a very quick change. Now, with electric cars, so as a consequence, I think electric cars would be one of the first responses. And by the way, if electric cars started to take, you know, huge volumes of the market, then the demand for gasoline would decrease, which would then put pressure on the price. In other words, the price for gasoline might be decreasing. Because if in 10 years, 60, 70, 80% of the vehicles are electric, the demand for gasoline is going to go down dramatically. And that whole infrastructure is going to be struggling. So I think there's sort of a counterbalance to an unlimited rise in gasoline prices.
I'm sorry we have to bring the Rusk Report to a close. I'd like to thank those who called regarding our recent guest, Richard Earl, grandson of the great General Motors designer Harley Earl, Michael Blihash, leader of the Polish American community in Philadelphia, and Native American leader J.C. Seneca. Thank you for your calls. We've learned a great deal from a great pioneer in the automotive industry, Eric Reichert. Again, his book of his Sailing Around the World is available at Amazon. Sail the World, Everything You Need to Know to Circumnavigate the Globe, by our guest, Eric Reichert. And thank you to Kevin Carr, Director of Production, for the last 15 years. Thank you for enlightening us once again, Eric A. Reichert. Have a great week.
You've been listening to The Rusk Report, a program that takes an inside look at the Western New York community with news, features, and special guests. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Brian Rusk, 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!